So how's everybody doing this morning? That is great. Just hang on a second here. So Mo, I'm going to mess your songs up. Supposed to disconnect while this is running, but we're gonna do that. There we go. So the morning class was freezing. How are we feeling now? Too warm? Turn to, in your Old Testaments, to Joshua, the fourth chapter. Joshua, the fourth chapter. And Carm, could I have you read that's where we were last week. Carm, could I have you read Joshua chapter 5 down through 9 over there on that?
Say that again.
Joshua chapter 5. 5.
1 through 9.
1 through 9, yeah.
All right, Joshua chapter 5, starting in verse 1, Joshua 5, 1 through 9. So it was, when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for themselves and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them, all the people who came out of Egypt who were males, and all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came up out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war came out of Egypt and were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in their place in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of this place shall be called Gilgal to this day.
All right. Good morning again. The file I wanted wasn't on that silver computer. It's on there, and I thought for sure I used that last week. So it walked off on me. That's my bad. We are remembering some things. The title last week was Do Not Forget to Remember. Remember that? It's kind of quiet here. Israel has crossed over the Jordan River. Crossing the Jordan, that was 2 weeks ago. And we use that example, that illustration, not illustration, but we're extrapolating off of what happened there. The Jordan, they cross in the harvest when the Jordan is wide and raging and rushing. And we are equating that with God's judgment and justice. Yet it was overwhelmed and overshadowed by his tremendous mercy. Remember, he rolled the waters back probably 30 miles, 30 times greater than the width of that Jordan. And they crossed on dry ground. And now they're in Jordan. Our whole series has been Promised Land living our Promised Land life now, and they are in the Promised Land. And they are looking at Jericho. But God asked them to do a couple of things first. He instructed them, more than asked them. That was to set up some stones there at Gilgal. And they did. And they also set up a pile of stones right in the middle of the Jordan where the priests were standing. But what were these stones for? He wanted them to remember some things, didn't he? Let this be a sign among you, 4:6, so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean? They will remember. Last week we took a look at who our real enemy is, and here's what the stones were for, remembering what God has done. What do these stones mean? You'll say, the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the Lord. So these stones shall become a memorial to you, to the sons of Israel, continuing on forever. And we skip from Joshua down the timeline a little bit to David, who used the same approach. He remembered the past, in the sense of he remembered what God had done for him as he faced Goliath. His Jericho was Goliath, and he said he remembered that, speaking to Saul, the Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear. He will deliver me from the Philistine. Remember what God has done. David had this down. Think, looking at the past and what God has accomplished in his life. Forget none of his benefits, he says in Psalms 103. And these are some of his benefits. You want an example of it? Right there in Psalm 103. He pardons and heals. He redeems. He crowns. He wraps you with his goodness and kindness and love. And he renews and he performs. His presence is always amongst you. His power is always with you. And I encourage you to create a trophy room in your heart. Anybody do that this past week? And on the door of that trophy room, it's not going to be your name on that. Whose name's going to be on that door? Whose trophy room is it really? Jesus Christ, right? And in that trophy room are his trophies. Remembering his accomplishments, making a mental note of each of his victories in your life. Face your future by revisiting your past in the sense of remembering his accomplishments. And that's what this pile of stones were to be to Israel. Our second observation of what God asked them or instructed them to do is to remember whose you are or to whom you belong. Joshua 5:2, at that time the Lord said to Joshua, make for yourself flint knives and circumcise again the sons of Israel. Second time. Way back in Genesis 17:11, Jehovah was speaking to Abraham and set this sign of the covenant into effect. God told Abraham, it shall be a sign, the circumcision activity, will be a sign of the covenant between me and you. So one writer summarizes it this way. 8 days after birth, every male child was to be symbolically set apart. His organ of male identity altered. He was not like the pagans who didn't know God. He was a child of the covenant. He belonged to God. Now in the wilderness wanderings, they came out of the wilderness, they let this practice lapse. And we have to kind of guess as to why they did. It could have been that their hearts were hardened. As some of the New Testament writers describe that generation, the wilderness talkers, remember, we've been using that, an application to us. Don't fall into the wilderness type of lifestyle where it is an immature, defeated Christian life. Get into the Promised Land living mindset. Their hearts were probably hardened. They had an evil heart of unbelief. Or they combined that with excuses. Vulnerability excuses. Oh, if all our fighting men are circumcised and they're unable to go to the war, they're healing, we're going to be attacked by who knows what, enemies and animals and all that sort of thing. Excuses. God wasn't concerned with their numbers or their skills or their muscles. He wanted them to remember who they are and who they were. Jehovah says, this is important. Verse 9 says to Joshua, today, after they obeyed this command and they were circumcised, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. And the Lord says, I've rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. And your little footnote's going to say that word, that name means rolling. Rolled away the reproach of Egypt. How would Egypt be a reproach? Think about when they were in Egypt. They were covenant people, but they weren't in a land of covenant people, were they? They were in a land of ungodly, what they would describe probably as Gentile land. Not their own land either. And there's probably a certain amount of humiliation with slavery. Here's this ragtag bunch of people coming out of Egypt with this elite Egyptian army chasing them. And they're wandering around and eventually wandering around 40 years. Probably made fun of. They're subject to insult and disgrace from other nations. Nations that wanted to dispose of them, not allow them pass through their land, went out to fight against them. The Lord here is saying, here in Joshua, while they're on the west side of the Jordan, it's time to reclaim your birthright. Reestablish that you are my chosen people. So really, it's a symbolic separation from the past. Would you agree with that? They are declaring a new identity. You are mine, Jehovah is saying. You're not who you were. They're no longer slaves, but they're free. They're no longer in bondage, but they're liberated. What a beautiful picture. So God's message here is remember whose you are. Remember who you belong to, whom you belong to. What's God's message to us? To us. Same thing. Same message. Because in a sense, all believers have been circumcised. Now, I realize that's an awkward subject. It's awkward. It's indelicate. And it's not like we're going to go home to lunch today and talk about this subject. Is it? Did you talk about last night, last week around the dinner table? It's something we don't talk about. But it's in the Bible, and it's in your New Testaments. And it's in your New Testaments in Colossians. Keep your finger on Joshua. But Colossians 2, Ken read this for us. Colossians 2, 11 to 12. While you're going there, here's my rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. I've got to remember to move these slides. Here we go. Colossians 2:11. Generally, I despise putting the scriptures up here because I'd rather you find them in your Bible so that you know they're in the Bible. But trust me right now, this is out of the Bible. Colossians 2, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Underlined. That's important to remember. The removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Circle, cutting. Cutting around. What they did with Israel, Joshua's, the men, the males, cut around the flesh. Here is a spiritual circumcision, cutting. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working or operation, that's what the circumcision would be, of God who raised him from the dead. I find this fascinating, especially and beautiful and wonderful, especially connected with this idea of washing. So this operation, this working connected with washing, Which we, in the rehab of Rahab, remember that? We had 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21 up there. Peter referring to using Noah as an example. Noah saved through water. In a like manner, you also have been saved through baptism. Not the putting off of dirt from the flesh. So what is he saying? It's not a physical bath you're taking. Pause right there. Let's think about a bath for a moment. Why do you take a bath? Why do you take a bath, Sean? Say, because you're dirty. Yeah. Even when you're working on a car, when you're out in the dirt, when you're an athlete and you're sweaty, sticky, sweaty, stinky, you want to, most of us take showers, but we need to stick with the bath idea because of this. This idea in the Greek here, and being immersed, submerged, you take a bath because you're dirty. So you get out, you dry, you dress, let's say it's in the morning, you go into the kitchen to fix yourself breakfast. Do you become clean in the kitchen, frying your egg? You do not. You're not clean, and you don't become clean. You are clean in the kitchen. You don't become clean in the kitchen. When did you become clean? In the bath, in the washing. What does Peter say that is? What is going on there? An appeal to God for a good conscience. We sometimes just brush right over that. That is what's happening. There's a lot of things we can't see going on, isn't there? The spiritual world's appeal to God for a good conscience, a clean conscience. And in this operation right here, working operation of God, Christ is cutting away the old man of sin in order for you to put on the new man. This blends in with Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Christ is cutting away the old life, severed and severing you from the power of sin and death, and detaching you from the power of old temptations and old lusts and old longings and old desires. The old life is disempowered. Romans 6 is the picture, isn't it? Christ died, you died. Christ was buried, you were buried. Christ was raised, you were raised. I love this. I love it when the Holy Spirit has a complete picture, and he sure does. This, you put some passages together, and you get the complete picture. It's beautiful. You can put off the old man and put on the new. In this washing, and it's not only that going on, but the operation, this circumcision of Christ. Become the new you. Who is the new you? Who is the new you? I am glad you asked. In remembering who we belong to whom we belong, we need to connect that with the idea of remembering what you are. What are you? You're God's child, John 1, 12. You're Christ's friend. You're a member of Christ's body. If you're taking notes, I'm just plowing through these. I'll let you copy these later. You're a member of Christ's body, 1 Corinthians 12, 27. You're a saint, set apart. You're holy. Ephesians 1, 1. You're redeemed and forgiven. Remember that. You're complete in Christ. Remember that. Remember what you are. What are you? You're free from condemnation. Romans 8, 1 and 2. You're God's co-worker. Remember what you are. Seated with Christ. Ephesians 2, 6. God's workmanship. Ephesians 2, 10. A citizen of heaven. Adopted into God's family, and a similar idea, born of God, and dead to the power of sin, Romans 6, 11. Praise God. This is what we are. Amen? Wow. Resist Satan. Because of this, you can resist Satan. Now, this is tying back to last week, where we had that picture of Satan prowling around like a roaring lion. We were looking at who our enemy is, remembering who our enemy is. The war is real. The battle is real. But you have this on your side. Remember what God has done for you. That's one. And remember who to whom you belong. And look at Satan in the eye, so to speak, and say, I'm dead to you, Satan. Romans 6:11, I am dead to you. I'm considering myself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God. I belong to God, 1 Corinthians 6:20, because I have been bought with a price. Look at Satan and say, I have not been given a spirit of timidity, but one of power and love and discipline. 2 Timothy 1:17. Satan, nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Romans 8:35. Satan, I can find grace to help in time of need because I draw near to the throne of grace to receive mercy. Hebrews 4:16. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. That makes it worth remembering, doesn't it? We want to forget a lot of things sometimes. All the mistakes we've made, the bad decisions we've made, the money we've blown. There's a lot of stuff we want to forget. Don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember what God has done for you and to whom you belong. Because the reason you can stand against Satan, face him, is this. Greater is he that is in me, you say to Satan, than he that is in the world. And what happens when they do these two things in Joshua? Go back to Joshua 5:1. They are standing, they crossed the Jordan on dry ground, and it came about when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard how the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the sons of Israel until they had all crossed. What happened to their hearts? They melted. I love that picture. And there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. So he has them set up stones, he has them circumcised, but in the meantime, while they're there on the west side of the Jordan, the hearts of the enemies were melted. What's the secret to survival, brethren, in enemy territory? I said it last week. What's the secret to survival? It starts with an R. Remember. Remember, your enemies, the enemies of darkness, will melt before you. You remember what God has done for you and remember to whom you belong. To where you can say, my God is bigger than any problems I face. And Satan can manipulate all of these things and throw them at us in order to drive a wedge between us and our dear Savior, can't he? Weariness, loneliness, worry, even retirement. we think these things are little and insignificant, like moving. Children aren't insignificant, but they can hinder us sometimes. We're not raising them the way we should be. Anxiety, cancer can be a problem. Finances, car stuff, being unemployed, illnesses, foreclosure, friends. Man, Satan's good at manipulating with these things and driving that wedge, isn't he? Don't let him do it. Remember what God has done for you. God stripped the spiritual rulers and powers of their authority. With the cross, he won victory and showed the world they were powerless. Colossians 2:15. Don't forget to remember. Don't face Satan by facing Satan. Face Satan by facing God. Remember what he has done for you and remember to whom you belong. What a fascinating passage, isn't it? You read through there and you read Joshua. You sure wouldn't think, after reading about setting up stones and setting up and having the male circumcised, and you're thinking, well, what is this in here for? Well, there may be other things we can take away. I love takeaways. But here's a big takeaway. Remember to whom you belong. And for those of you who consider yourselves and claim to be children of God, believers, Christians, saints, I don't want to plant a seed. I do not want to plant a seed of doubt about the time when you did what we're talking about here, allowing Christ to cut away the old man, being immersed in water. But if you understood the good news to be getting baptized and going to church, you may want to rethink this whole thing and ask yourself, did I make Jesus my Lord and my Savior at the time I did this? Did I really set him in my heart as my commander, as my loving king? Or did I become converted to a bunch of people or a preacher? Because if you were, what often happens, and you've seen this, people, Christians, look at other Christians and see them make mistakes and see them sin, and they get discouraged and discouraged and distressed over time, and they drop their faith, get up and walk out. We talked about this last Wednesday night. Yes, people do forget Christ and abandon Christ, but I'm wondering how many people weren't really converted, as we say, turned to Christ in the first place. And so when you hear the phrase, oh, they left the church, that I used to criticize that phrase, but that may be exactly what happened, because they were converted to people and not to Christ. So we got a big tub up here that doesn't take long to fill. If you want to allow Christ to circumcise your heart and be washed in his blood, that goes for unbelievers too. If you're here and you have not made that commitment, changing your mind about who Jesus is and being immersed in water, that's the start. And then you live this wonderful life of faith, trusting in God. It's going to be ups and downs, but remember who God is and what he has done for you. Have that trophy room filled with his accomplishments. Amen? All right, and remember to whom you belong. Let's sing the song, been selected. And we stand usually.